Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Ireland Crimes and Mysteries. I want to thank you for joining me today, and if you're a returning listener, I want to say a big thank you for your continued support. If this is your first time listening to my podcast, welcome. It's great to have you on board. So without further ado, let's get started on today's story.
A young man vanishes without a trace, a devastated family left searching for answers, and a best friend who refuses to stop looking. This is the story of Dean Roach, who disappeared from Ballyfoyle, County Kilkenny on the 22nd of March 2015, and to this day remains missing. Since then, there have been searches, speculation and heartbreaking dead ends, but no closure. His family and friends continue to push for answers, refusing to let his story fade into the background. Today, as the 10th anniversary of Dean's disappearance approaches on the 22nd of March, I'm joined by Damien Hipwell, Dean's best friend, who has fought tirelessly to keep his memory alive and uncover the truth about what happened that day. Damien will share who Dean was behind the headlines, his thoughts on the investigation, and why he believes someone out there knows more than they are saying. This is Ireland Crimes and Mysteries. I'm your host, Nules, and today we're diving into the mystery of Dean Roach's disappearance. Damien, thanks for joining us today. For those people that say maybe not familiar with Dean's story, could you start off just by telling us a bit about Dean as a person and what was he like as a friend?
I always say this every time I'm talking about Dean. And it's, you know, he was one of the nicest people I ever met and one of the closest friends I ever had. And there's not too much, I couldn't ever really say a bad thing about him. From as long as I'd known him, we always, we got on really great, like a house on fire, like, you know, different from everybody else I used to hang around with. Myself and Dean had a special little bond. And, you know, overall, everybody knows the crack with Dean now, even with the addiction aside and everything else that was going on underneath it all. He was one of the nicest people you could ever come across or interact with. And everybody that knows him or knew him says the same thing. You know, he was just funny. He was kind. He was gentle. But unfortunately, the way things played out then, he just got in the grips of an awful addiction. And that just kind of changed the course of his life, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Through no fault of his own. Like, do you know what happens to a lot of people? Getting to March 2015, could you walk us through what the lead up to that was, the day he vanished?
Yeah, the story is, basically the short and sweet of it is, on the 22nd of March, Dean was looking up some adverts online, Dundee or wherever it was when he was at home, and he was looking to buy a car. And to this day, we never knew why he was buying the car, but look, considering everything that happened, we kind of think that maybe he was looking to buy a quick car just to, you know, go on a little mission, as it were. But he made his way out to Ballyfoyle. It's a little county outside, just on the outskirts of Kilkenny there. A beautiful place, I always say. It's a lovely little place out there. But he travelled on out on the evening of the 22nd of March to buy a car. He got a taxi out. On the way out then, they got lost, himself and the taxi driver, because they actually didn't know where they were going. And when they went out there, they got lost and they came back into town and they actually went back out then because the man that was selling them the car rang him to give him more directions as they were going out. So he went out and went into the fella who was buying the car off. The taxi driver dropped him off. The taxi driver then later on, as we were talking to him, said Dean was fine on the way out there. He was chatting away to him. He was, you know, fully witted. He was just shooting the breeze about normal stuff and got out to Ballyfoyle and taxi driver left him off there, like I said, and he went in and he purchased a car. He paid €200 for this car. As far as we know, it was a Mitsubishi Lancer.
Okay.
And the story we have so far was that he drove the car out of the... He made the transaction, paid €200 for the car. He drove out of the man's driveway and a couple of hundred yards down the road, then he crashed the car for some reason. And it's always been a bit of a mystery how he crashed the car, because as we said throughout all of this, Dean, one of the things that he was really good at was driving. Right. He was an excellent driver. Cars, motorbikes, he was into it since he was very young himself and his brother Keith. So we're thinking, how did he crash the car? Was it a fault in the car? Was there a fault with Dean himself? But later on, as kind of things progressed, I actually had a conversation one time about Ballyfoyle with the fellow who sold Dean the car, and he told me that Dean seemed fine. He was coherent. They were talking about cars and just normal stuff. He said Dean didn't seem intoxicated.
There's nothing
out of the ordinary. But looking back on it now, and I hate to always kind of coming up with these nitpicking and leading into conspiracy theories, but you know, the fact is he bought the car, drove it out of the yard, crashed it, and it's from there that everything is just
started to kind of become a blur, basically.
A complete
what happened
mystery.
Next?
You know, there's lots of stories, all right, but it's trying to. And I've always said this about Ballyfoyle and the people of Ballyfoyle, like, never ever since this whole thing started did we ever want to be out there pointing fingers or accusing anybody of anything. But
of
the fact is, you know, the guards and their investigation have said that Ballyfoyle is the last place that they had Dean. Can't, there's no evidence to suggest he got out of it. There's lots of rumours there now. You know, did he ring somebody to come out and collect him, or did he meet someone? But the fact is, even though the Gardaí never found his phone, they did locate and track down his phone records not long after he went missing. And they were able to tell us that Dean didn't make any calls other than to the taxi driver to bring him out to Ballyfoyle and to the fella he was purchasing the car off. He didn't receive any texts. He didn't receive any calls. He didn't make any calls. Nothing to suggest that he was in contact with anybody else to come and collect him after he crashed the car. We would have loved him from the very early stages for the guards to come out and say, look, he made a call to this certain number. And maybe that was the person. But the fact is, they have said it that he made no calls, no texts to anybody, and that every number, every mobile number and stuff, phone activity in that area at that time is accounted for. So this is coming straight from them. The people leading the investigation are telling us that Dean was not in contact with anybody to come out and get him out in Ballyfoyle. And even there's a lot of stories. I know there's a lot of mysteries in this, but I'd like to think in an ideal world, like, I'd love to think that somebody did come out to Ballyfoyle and collect him and bring him out of there, because, you know, it would give us hope just to say, look, he is out of there, and it would get us out of Ballyfoyle. We don't like being out in Ballyfoyle, and anyone that follows this case and the story knows, even on the Facebook page there, it's, I do be posting a lot and doing a lot of videos over the years, and there has been a lot of stuff and fingers pointed out to Ballyfoyle, but again, that's not, it's not my fault. It's not our fault.
It's the last place he was known to be,
Exactly. And constant from the Gardaí telling us constantly, year after year and time after time, that they cannot get Dean out of Ballyfoyle. They have no evidence whatsoever to say that he got out of Ballyfoyle. There had been one or two people, including my brother now, was interviewed one time because he said that he actually seen Dean on the Monday after he went missing. But my brother, Kieran, God love him, he's as blind as a bat now. And he could have seen Dean, but we don't think it was that day, because when he gave a statement to Gardaí, obviously they went and checked CCTV around the time, and there was no CCTV in. And there was another person. She would have known Dean very well, and I know her as well, and she's a good, sound person. Like, and she's telling us that she's seen Dean on the Monday after the Ballyfoyle, but again, Gardaí...
In Kilkenny, is it?
In Kilkenny City, yeah. But again, the Gardaí looked into it. They asked her what time it was. She gave them a time, so they tried to correspond with CCTV, so they got the CCTV around that time, and there was no sign of him whatsoever around. So they're saying maybe she was talking to him, but it just wasn't that.
Oh, she said she was talking to him on the Monday.
She said she was talking to him, yeah.
But right.
I don't doubt that she was talking to him. I just have a feeling that she has her days mixed up, or it could have been
the
Monday before. Yeah, because there's like, around Kilkenny is very small, and like everywhere these days, like, there's cameras everywhere. And I know this was 2015, but still, Kilkenny City, there's so many CCTV.
There was still a lot back then.
There was still a lot, and there was just absolutely no sign of him anywhere. So that leads us back to the
And did anybody know he was going out to Ballyfoyle? Anybody apart from his mother, obviously?
I actually don't think that it was his mother. Like, his mother did know that he was after leaving the house, he was going to meet someone and go purchase the car, but she didn't exactly know where he was going. So that's okay. that's another thing, Nules. Like, people could say, oh, he could have rang so-and-so, but he didn't ring anybody.
No.
And even Dean himself got lost going out there with the taxi. So nobody knew where he was, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then you had some people saying, oh, he owed money for this and that, and maybe that he rang
followed
someone.
Him or something.
Yeah, but even some people are saying that, oh, he could have rang this person. Like, he wouldn't have rang. If Dean owed money, which we believe now that he didn't, because the Gardaí did look into it, and to have this process of, do you know, if someone's going missing, they're going to look into, especially with the nature of Dean. Oh, he had a very bad drug habit at the time, you know, unfortunately. Yes. But they ruled out Dean owing any money to anybody, any big, significant money. So therefore, and then you have the other thing, Nules. Like, if he owed money to people, why would he ring them to come out and get him? You know, if why would he ring someone that he was hiding from? Just, you know, I know I owe you money and I'm hiding from you. Could you come collect me? I'm in a bit of a jam here. That doesn't happen.
No, that doesn't make sense. I was just thinking more from the point of view of somebody following him out there.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that's the, I don't think that's the case.
You don't think?
Because there would have had to be someone stalking the house or following him. And even when he got out to Ballyfield, and even in this area, Ballyfield, it's so remote and it's so isolated. There's only, it's a big, vast countryside. And where Dean bought this car, there's only like five houses in the vicinity, like, you know, five, six houses. Yeah. And they're all very close by. So if that taxi driver even dropped Dean off there, and even the locals out there that would have been kind of humming about, they would have saw some other car or somebody else hanging around.
Yes.
There was,
you notice.
You know, you'd notice that. Even Dean being out there, like, and this is what we'll kind of get into as, you know, some of the stories are followed after. Like, but even Dean himself being out there would have been a major, major event. Because nothing happens out here. It's so quiet, it's so isolated that there was nobody else. We don't.
Which makes it all the more unusual, really, doesn't it? Like, you know, for something.
Absolutely. It is unusual when you look at it like that. But then if you start to peel away different kind of scenarios that may have happened, you're kind of saying to yourself, right, you don't want to venture down these roads sometimes, but what else can you do? It's creeping up to his 10-year anniversary. We put so much into this to get where we are today.
And you want to get to the bottom of it.
We do. It's just for closure. Do you know, like, I said it to you before, at this stage of the game, it doesn't matter who done what. Like, do you know?
Want him back.
It's a thing about right and wrong. And we just feel at this stage, 10 years down the line, that
You're still kind of, every time you feel you're getting somewhere, it's one step forward, two steps back, kind of.
Oh, 100%. And then there's kind of things where evidence has been, like, passed on through messages and stuff, and evidence then, or not evidence, but stories and, you know, information.
Information, or,
has been passed on to guards, and they are looking into it, like, you know, but it's just, you know, there's lots and lots of stories, but it's not what you know, it's what you can prove, as they say, so.
Well, that's the thing. And from this, like, the initial, how did you find the initial response from the Gardaí? Like, were you happy with their initial response when?
Absolutely not, Nules. And I hate, even right at this stage, I don't really like going back over old wounds with guards, because the people who are actually dealing with the situation now
are fantastic.
They're a totally different kettle of fish from what was there at the start.
And that's what's important.
Exactly. And we do have a good relationship with them. So, you know, everyone that's involved in it up there now, every time I bring up or seem like I'm dogging the guards, it's not a dig at the people who are in control now.
It goes back
to what happened at the very start.
It was atrocious. It's just from the point of view, I suppose, of precious evidence being missed at the beginning, do you know?
Exactly. And even at the simple things, like that Sunday evening when the car was crashed, when it was found, the logbook and stuff was in it, which had Dean's name on it. And this is one of the big things that we always, and Geraldine as well, God love her, like, the Gardaí knew from that Sunday that Dean Roach was in that car and he bought it, and that possibly he may be in that area. They didn't come into town or contact Geraldine or anybody in the family and say, listen, is Dean around? Or we have reason to believe that he might be involved in a situation at Ballyfoyle. If he comes home, will you contact us? There was none of that. Do you know, and even back to as time rolled on and you hear these stories of Dean may have done this. And I even seen some of the comments under your own, some of your TikTok videos. There is some nasty comments on it. Like, people are, you know, why didn't you mention the fact that Dean was a thief and a drug addict and this? But the fact is, right, we know Dean had farm. And we've always, from the very start, put our hands up and said, we're not painting him out to be an angel here, right?
No, but you've been honest from the beginning,
And it was the way to go. There was no other way about it. Like, to get the truth, you have to tell the truth. But on the other side of all this, the nasty comments and the horrible comments that do pop up sometimes, is that, like, it's never been proven that Dean did anything out there.
Yeah.
It's never been proven. Like, fair enough, they're saying, now, bear in mind, it took them 2 years after Dean went missing the first time to actually bring Geraldine into the Garda barracks, sit her down and say, all right, Geraldine, Dean arrived out here at point A and he ended up at point B, and this is what he did in between. Like, why the big 2 year wait to bring people in to tell him that? Yeah. Especially, whatever about me, I'm not family. Do you know, I'm just doing my thing here.
But his own mother.
For his own mother, like, you know. And, like, even if there was properties interfered with that evening out there, which I'm not saying there wasn't, but I'm keeping an open mind about the whole lot. Like, would you not think that Gardaí, in the course of that investigation, would say, right, there was a burglary over here, or this was taken over here. Shouldn't we at least kind of gather some evidence here, like fingerprints or anything like that? Or does anyone have a camera in their house? You know, like, they can't just... You can't just walk into a Garda barracks or ring the guards and say, my house is burgled and I think it was Dean Roach. And the guards can't just turn around and say, oh, well, that's fine. We'll get him tomorrow and bring him to court and we'll just tell the judge that he might have done it. That's not how it works.
That's not it, no.
So, which leads us to believe that, we're not saying it's true, but I don't want to say believe, but to wonder, do you know, is it possible that Dean went out there, bought that car, drove it out of the yard, went a couple of hundred yards down the road, crashed it for some reason. There was a fault in the car. There was whatever. Dean, did he not make his way back up to the house to say to the man, here, listen, there's something wrong with the car. It's gone into a dike here. The brake is gone. The handbrake wouldn't work.
And he never did. He never went back.
He never went back to the house that he bought it off, as far as we know.
Which you'd think would be the logical thing to do, like, you know.
Exactly,
you?
But we're not saying, now, we're not saying that he didn't go back, but the story that we have, again, this is coming from the Gardaí 2 years after the, you know,
the initial disappearance,
they came and they told us all this, so we were kind of sitting down, you know, kind of disbelief, but some of the stuff that's out there, we just don't know if it's true. So I'd ask anybody who's kind of following the case or watching your videos or anything like that, just, it's not 100% proven that Dean did go on any kind of crime spree out there. You know, who's to say that certain people out there, if things got out of hand, you know, they had plenty of time to come up with a kind of a story
scenario.
Or a scenario or whatever. I'm not saying that's what happened, but
no,
Gardaí can't say, or people can't say, you can keep an open mind and anything is possible, but this is not possible and that's not possible. If they're saying anything is possible, then anything is possible. And the fact that Dean has not been found yet, so anything is possible. You know,
absolutely. From the point of view then of what the Gardaí have told you, what have they told you happened to Dean after the car crashed?
Officially, the story goes, Dean, he crashed the car. Not long after that, then, he started heading back up towards where he bought the car. And he entered into the driveway of this house. I think I went through before. It was Witness A or Witness B.
I have it all in the podcast about Dean anyway.
And I know it was a bit annoying for people to say, oh, you keep addressing as Witness A or B, but you can't name it.
Well, no, like, you can't.
And that's just the way it is. You can't. You know, for all we know, nobody out there did nothing. They're just people enjoying their life and living a quiet life, and that's the way they want it.
Like, that something happened near their house,
exactly. So the story goes, there was a young girl in her house at the time, and she happened to look out her window, and she seen this fella in her driveway. So she went to call her father, and her father went out and confronted, which we believe to be Dean. Sure, who else would it be, like?
Yeah.
And Dean said that he was after buying the car off of so-and-so the road, and that he crashed it, and it's kind of in a dike, but, you know, it's kind of maybe blocking the road a small bit. So he said, I'm just coming in to warn you that there's a car down there. And the man said, oh, jeez, okay, are you all right? And he said, do you want to lift home into town? And at the time, Dean said, supposedly said, no, I'm okay. I don't need a lift. My brother is coming out to collect me.
Okay. Now,
we kind of find that a bit strange too, because why would he say that? Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, you think if you crashed the car, he'd say, I crashed the car. I don't have a lift home. Yeah, can I have that lift home? But apparently, Dean declined the lift home and then walked off. So, the guards...
He could have been a bit disorientated as well after the crash, you know?
Well, this is the thing now. When we get to the final lady that's seen Dean, things kind of take a different kind of turn. But, you know, the man came out, asked Dean who he was, blah, blah, blah. Dean went off. So the man kind of supposedly didn't think there was anything strange with that. Went back into his house, just went about his business. Then, a couple of yards down the road, there was a couple in their house. And I know it sounds crazy, and even when I'm talking about it, it sounds awful. Like, if this kind of thing happened, it is your worst nightmare, like, you know. But this woman walked into her kitchen and supposedly seen a young man, crawling across her kitchen floor.
That would terrify you.
Oh, it is your worst nightmare, like, you know. So she supposedly called her husband, ran out of the kitchen, supposedly called her husband. The husband came back in and Dean was gone. Now, where it gets strange after this, or supposedly Dean was gone, like, where it gets strange after this couple then didn't react to it in a way, supposedly didn't react in a way that you think you would. You'd be out screaming, you'd be out roaring, you'd be ringing your neighbours, they kind of went, oh, God, that's
strange. Their day.
And just went about their business. That doesn't make sense either.
No. You'd be ringing the guards even.
Oh, listen, if I was sitting down here in my house and I was upstairs, or if I was upstairs in bed and I heard a commotion downstairs and I came down and there was someone climbing in my window. Like, you'd do a bit of damage and then you'd ask questions after. Like, you wouldn't.
Absolutely. You'd be defending your place.
I'll help you in and we'll have a cup of tea and talk about it. Like, that's not how things go.
No.
And that's what we're saying, and that's what we have been saying. Like, if that's what happened, that's what happened. Like, you know,
it's just a bit odd.
It's just very odd. And then the oddest part about the whole lot of it is the last woman who seen Dean and spoke to Dean, as a witness, CEO, whatever. She said that she was in her house. She thought she heard a noise out around the front door somewhere. So she said she walked out. It was around 9 o'clock or just after 9 o'clock. She said she remembers the time because the RT news was playing in the background. So she went out, opened her front door. Now, this is coming from her herself. This is the weird part. When me and Geraldine first went out to Ballyfire, and I get back to this story now because it kind of ties in with it. When me and Geraldine first went out to Ballyfire, we were driving along and we were talking away and we're just, you know, we got to near this area, Ballyfoy, where Dean was last seen. And there was a woman out walking her dog. So we kind of didn't know where we were going. So we pulled in and I got out of the car and I approached the woman and said, hi, how are you? My name is Damien. And, you know, we're out here. A friend of ours went missing. And she turned around and she says, I think I'm the woman you need to be talking to. She said, if you want to pull the car in over there, she says, I can have a conversation with you. So we were like, okay. So then she proceeded to tell us the story about how she went out to, she heard the noise, she opened the front door. There was a young man standing there. He seemed very confused and disorientated. She said, she turned around, she says, I think she asked him, who was he or was he okay? And Dean, and this is again, this is coming from her now, right? This is not coming from the guards. This is coming directly
from the lady herself.
She said, she asked Dean, was he okay? Dean replied to her, I'm not okay and I need help. So the lady went back into her house to get her phone, she said. And when she came back out, Dean was gone. So she said, you know, she knew straight away it was something weird. This is, no, it's not right. Where we live, this nobody does be out here. So she said 10 minutes after that, she went out to the front door. She was out around the front yard kind of looking around. And she said a large silver car came whizzing by her house at speed. And she saw it fly by the house. Then she heard it screeching to a halt at the end of the road. brakes on, lights, the whole lot, big skids, big dramatic stop. Mm. And then she said all she could hear then was, "Get in the car, get in the effing car, get in, get in, get in." And she said right. The car sped off in the direction of a place around Kilkenny called Muckalee.
Okay.
And we were standing there after she told us that, and we were just absolutely dumbfounded. Because the guards had apparently known this, and they hadn't informed us of any of this yet. Like, so this was our first time hearing this, and we were absolutely gobsmacked. So again, we didn't know that the guards already knew this. She told us that she thought she had
new information.
Exactly. So we buckled on back into Kilkenny up to the Garda barracks, and they were just kind of their usual, "Oh yeah, we know that. We took a statement from the lady." And we said, "Sure. No, why aren't you been telling us then? Why haven't
That's you?"
It's
so frustrating.
I was like, "You mean to tell me that Dean has gone missing and the lady seen him, he asked for help and the car came along, skidded, and there was a big dramatic, you know, whatever, and there was shouting, 'Get in the car.'" So straight away we were kind of thinking like who was in this car?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Who the hell was in this car? Who stopped and who was shouting at who? So as time went on, Gardaí kind of said to themselves, look, you know, sometimes after the fact or the event, people might change their stories and it mightn't have happened exactly the way she said it. So they changed their story to, it wasn't a silver car, it was a light colored car, whatever that means, silver, light color. So there was still a car.
Yeah.
And that the car, officially, in their official timeline of events, they're saying that the car stopped at the gate next to the house where Dean was last seen, and a male occupant from the car shouted at someone to get in. So there's still rules to this day. They're still playing this off like it's nothing big to worry about. And where we are, we're kind of saying, hang on a minute here.
That's a big deal.
This is screaming at us here. Like, you know, a person has gone missing. And around the same time that he went missing, there was a car in the area. And
what reason would the lady have to make that up?
Well,
you know,
I have no idea. But up until, when was it, a couple of months ago or there, it could have been, you know, 6 months, 7 months ago, it was brought to our attention again through another meeting in the Garda station that this woman, the last woman to see Dean, had actually changed her story again and said that she seen Dean walking up the stairs of her house when she walked out to the hallway. And that's when a big kind of shouting. But we're kind of said, none of it makes sense because, like,
no.
If that's the case at the very start, if the truth is that Dean was out there on a burglary spree after he crashed the car and Dean had entered her house unlawfully, he was invading their space and he was doing wrong, why didn't she just tell us that?
Yeah, exactly. There's no reason for her to keep that from you.
And to go in then, even to keep it from us, if she didn't want to hurt her feelings or she didn't want to upset the mother, because, it's a bit of an awkward situation.
But tell the guards.
Tell the guards, or even why stand there and come up with this big, elaborate story about the car?
And even the fact that she was so open to when you actually initially went to her and said, "Oh, I think I'm the person you need to talk to."
She went directly into her story and she didn't miss a beat. So even as time went on, we went to the guards. We were saying, like, what about the detail of what she's saying? Do you know, she's fully convinced of what she's saying. And the guards turned around to us and they just said, look, her initial story wasn't correct. And when we went back out and re-interviewed her and stuff, you know, things changed slightly. And I said, okay, right. Things have changed slightly, as in the car didn't skid at the end of the road. Apparently, and there wasn't this get in the car, but the real story is the car stopped at the gate next to the field and a male occupant shouted at someone to get in. Now I said, right, but the stories are not too dissimilar. Like, they're still fairly kind of, you know.
So that would put Dean out of Ballyfoyle then, if that's the case.
If they could prove that Dean somehow got into that car, then he's out of Ballyfoyle. But
that's
maybe he didn't get into the car.
Only knows where then.
Exactly. And this is the other frustrating part about what's coming up next. I've kind of said it in the last few posts and stuff, that I'm going my own way with this, as far as we have a good relationship with the Gardaí, and I hate, like I said, going back over old wounds and old stories, because what's done is done. But their new approach coming up to this now is very worrying for me. because
okay,
during the there was recent searches out there about 4 months ago. There was a big 3 week operation out there, and the Gardaí had said that they were focusing on this certain part of Ballyfoyle that wasn't in the 10 years that Dean was gone missing. This area of Ballyfoyle wasn't searched as comprehensively, I think is the word, that they wanted to do, right? So that's okay. They went out and they did this 3 week operation, and they had their civil defense out there, they had mountain rescue out there, they had cadaver dogs out there, they had specialized equipment. I really believed in my heart news that they were going to find them. I remember
they had all the tools for it, yeah.
They had everything, and because we always wanted to believe, we didn't, you know, there's so many conspiracy theories and stories out there, and I hate it. Doing them videos on Facebook and doing them posts accusing people of stuff.
Because, of course, yeah.
And I really hated it, but all the stuff that I was doing on Facebook and everything, it was just going off the information that we had.
Yeah, and trying to root out some information.
Trying to root out anything. So they went out anyway and they continued on with the searches. And I really, really believed that if he was in this area that they were focused on, that they were going to find him. I was trying to, in my mind and everything, I was trying to be prepared for when the call came and they said they found him. I was picturing how people would react. I was picturing his funeral. I was picturing him and his mom being laid to rest finally, and just it being over. Like, so the 3 weeks came and went anyway, real fast, and nothing. So the call is in for a meeting, and the frustrating part about it, and this is where I have to try and keep my calm about this whole thing, is because for 10 years, from when Dean went missing up until right now, for 10 years, we have been screaming at them about this silver car.
Yeah.
From the very first bloody time we were, we were out there, and we've been screaming about the silver car and shouting about it, and they've just ignored it. The car had nothing got to do with it. Even up before they done the 3 week searches there, we had a meeting, and they actually, I done a video, and it's on Facebook on the page there somewhere, but I was really pissed off, and I done the video, and basically what they were saying up in the Garda station and in the meeting was that it was about time that we start letting go of this silver car. And I turned around and I said, but tell us why we should, like, so explain to us why we should, like, you present us with evidence saying that this car had nothing got to do with it. And if you do that, then we'll gladly walk away and go on to something else. But
absolutely,
the fact is this car was here and you're not saying anything about it and you're telling us to forget about it. I can't do it. I'm sorry. So, and I even said to him, I said, look, we're enjoying the relationship that we have now. There's no bullshit. There's no, you know, narkiness, there's no tension at the meetings, there's no, none of that stuff, right? So we were just there like, we can't forget about the car. So then, after the 3 week searches, they came into us and they said, look, there was nothing there. They found remains, bones, all right, but it was animals. It was, so they were saying, that means like the dogs were working. They did find bones under the ground, dead bones, but they were animal bones, unfortunately. But then one of the guards turned around to me up at the meeting and he said, he goes, did any of Dean's friends at the time drive a silver car or anything? And I said, I'm not sure. I don't think so. But I kind of had a little inkling what he was getting at. And he turned around, he says, look, we're going to put out an appeal for the car. And I says,
okay.
And they said, we're going to do it coming up, leading up to the 10 year anniversary. But my only issue with that is, who are you appealing to for this car? Because Dean went missing out in the middle of nowhere. And the people that were in the area at that time, they're all locals and they're friends. And there was nobody that shouldn't have been in that area and that wasn't from the area out there at that time. So who the hell are you appealing for? 10 years later, you're putting out an appeal for a car that we have asked you to do from the very beginning and you haven't done it. Now, my only worry is this, is that everybody involved in this, right, knows that something stinks. Right,
yes.
To know that something stinks to high heaven. And again, it comes back to the thing. It's not what you know, it's what you can prove. So I'm thinking that they went out there, searched this area, Ballyfoyle. He's not there. Which leads on to the next thing is, right, he's not here. Then if we believe he's still in Ballyfoyle, then where is he?
Yeah.
It has to come into the conversation. If they're saying that he's still out in Ballyfoyle, they have to entertain the notion that something happened to him out there. Now, they mightn't want to come out and say it because Now, and I've asked them time and time again, if you are actively investigating anybody out there and you don't want me out there and you don't want me posting stuff on Facebook, then tell me now and I will not do it. I don't want to be stepping on your toes here. And they just waved me off and said, just go do what you like. Just go do what you like. Now, another thing that I was worried about was coming up to the tree, to the search for the tree. Like, even when the new team took over, right? They said, what we're doing is we're taking all this case and looking at it like it's brand new.
With fresh eyes.
Fresh eyes. And what we're doing is we're going through this process of elimination. They said. So first thing is, do we think Dean committed suicide? Absolutely no way. He just didn't have it in him, right? So we're ruling out suicide. Do we think that Dean left Ireland and went off to England and started a new life? No, we don't think that. He didn't have a passport. He didn't have any money. Yeah. He didn't have, he just didn't do that. Did he get out of Ballyfile and go off and start a new life? No, he didn't. Yeah. So they said, right, one by one, they're eliminating those possibilities, right? So that didn't happen. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. So here we are in this area, Ballyfile, and we're going to go in here and search there. So if we don't find anything in this area that we're going to tear apart for 3 weeks, this then we can put that to bed and say, right, we're quite satisfied, which they have said, we're quite satisfied that he's not in that area. So from us looking at it, it has to be, right, then that's gone. What's the next thing? Is it possible?
And Damien, is the area that they searched in Ballyfoyle, is it a big area or was it a field or like?
It was an area in Ballyfoyle known as the Glen.
Okay.
Now, where they searched, it was a big area, now, in fairness. It was a very big area, which, like, it took them 3 weeks to go up there and search, like, you know. And in that area, it was so, like, we've been down there. I've been down there loads of times. I've been out, I've been out on my own with the dog. I've been walking through this place. Like, it's so, when you get into where they were searching, it's so thick and dense with, you know, vegetation and overgrown stuff. And it was a hard operation, like, you know. So they've come out now basically and said that they believe he's not there.
He's not there.
You know, so whether...
So that kind of brings us back to the silver car then, really, doesn't it?
Brings us back to the silver car and to the possibility that Dean walked into someone's yard out there or someone's house that evening and he came across somebody and something... And this is what I believe, News, right? It's not necessarily what everyone else believes, but I'm just talking about my own belief here and from my
theories,
own heart here, right? I think that that's what happened. I honestly believe that the answer still lies out there.
And that there may have been an altercation 100%, with somebody.
Because, and I think why it's so hard to get to the root of it is because, you know, it's a secret, like, it's probably being held together by the biggest bond of all, I suppose. Yeah. Family bond, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, there is people keeping secrets about this. Now, I will say this before I keep going on about that. There has been information, just say even recently, passed on to me and passed on to someone else. I won't really name them here.
No, don't name any names. Yeah.
That evidence has been, information has been passed on to the Gardaí, and it's some serious stuff. Do you know, it is some very serious
stuff.
Does it
give you hope?
It does, but it's a wild story now. It's a wild story. And if we were to believe it, it does mean 100% that Dean got out of Ballyfoyle.
Okay.
That's just the thing. We can't get him out of there. And I can't get him out of there. I don't think that Dean got out of there with anybody.
And does this information seem credible to you, Damien? Because I'm sure you've had lots of kind of false information down through the years as well.
You see, it does and it doesn't, because the people who were involved in this new bit of information, I don't even know what to be saying here, but they're just people that might be capable of doing what is said. So that information has been passed on. And
it's with the guards now.
The guards are going to have to do what they want to do on that. But my biggest worry about this whole thing is they're trying to direct the focus now away from Ballyfoyle. If they're going to pin everything and say, all right, we're putting out an appeal for the silver car, they have to go all in with it. They can't just turn around and say, we're putting out an appeal for the silver car just because it was in the area this time. You have to come out and say, we're looking for an appeal for the silver car because we believe it may have something got to do with it.
It's very vague, though, isn't it? They don't even have a make or a model or anything.
That's it, just a light-coloured car. You know, and even back to people that think, you know, something happened to Dino there. I remember, was it the superintendent before the fella that's in there now? I can't think of his name, but this fella was an intense fella. He worked up in Dublin there for 12 years on the murder squad. And he knew something about this whole thing was fishy. Like, he was looking at all this thing and he was, you know, this doesn't make any lick of sense. So coming up to one of the anniversaries, I think it could have been about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe. It's online somewhere. If I went and snooping around, I'd find it. But he did an interview with KCLR that morning out in Ballyfoyle, or it was near Ballyfoyle. And he said, and it hasn't been repeated since, and I've asked them, asked Gardaí, could somebody come out and repeat it? But they're refusing at the minute. But he turned around, he was out in Ballyfoyle, and he turned around and he said, maybe it's about time we start looking at the possibility, he said, that Dean was the victim of a crime. So if he said that
he was.
It's, you know, if he said that, you know, that's what we've been thinking. So this is our appeal to the guards there too. Like, why can't it just come out and say, even acknowledge that, even say that he may have been the victim of a crime or he may have been the victim of foul play, but for some reason they're just not going there. Like, you know, and I know you can't just start throwing around these wild accusations.
Yeah, but you're not accusing anybody in particular. You're just stating a fact that, like, 100%. I mean, he's gone for 10 years. Where is he?
Exactly. You know? And that's the thing. It's, we're not making up stories and we're not, we're just appealing to, because as much as this thing started off with, right, you have Dean, which obviously, you know, he's gone missing. This is the reason why we're all doing this and why all this stuff happened. But then you have the other end of it. Like, you have a family here, like poor Geraldine there. Everyone saw that story. Like, that woman just gave up. Like,
it was tragic.
I remember even when she was battling the cancer there, she was doing the chemo and she was doing the radiotherapy and everything was going grand. And, you know, she was winning the battle against the cancer. Like, you know, and the doctors were saying to her, Geraldine, look, whatever you're doing, keep doing it, because you're fighting
it's
this
working.
And it's working. But that was, you know, I think it was, you know, she was trying to keep a positive attitude and trying to keep everything going. But then as time rolled on, the woman just completely gave up. And I remember sitting in there talking to her, like, you know, and I'm trying to say, Geraldine, you know, we have to keep going with this and you have to keep hope and you have to keep. But I understood her devastation. Like, I'm a parent now too. Like, you know, I've
absolutely
two
you never
lovely
give
kids
up,
there. And it's just the one thing, Noel, is like, when it comes to your children, like, I don't care what happens to you, even when it comes to love or whatever you feel in this world. Like, you can love people all you want, be in relationships, and your brothers and sisters, your boyfriends, your girlfriends, everything. But your children, when it comes to your children, the love is, you can't explain it. It's on another level.
It's unconditional, sure. Unconditional
Absolutely
love.
Absolutely on another level. From the moment they're born and that connection happens, like, you would die for your children. Yeah. And to imagine the situation there of your child actually going missing and the people who are trying to or supposed to be helping you are just having this nasty attitude towards you and they're not doing anything. And can you imagine sitting down there wondering what happened to your child? Like,
it's like they had already stereotyped Dean.
They did 100%. Listen,
which is very unfair.
It happens, and that's life.
It does. It's reality, shouldn't be.
The guards have always come out and they said, look, even at the very early stages of it, they said, like, you know, the Gardaí are not in the habit of going around throwing people into the boot of cars. And I said, right, that's fair enough, but don't sit there and tell me that the guards have never beat people up. Like, that happens too, unfortunately. A good few years ago now, I was in Barrow with myself, and I would have had a good bit of contact with Gardaí, and some of them are tyrants, they're bullies. And once you're in that crosshairs, that's it. They won't let you down or let you go or let you be. And I'm not saying that as in that's what happened to Dean. But is it beyond the realm of possibility that out there that evening there was a guard or someone in that silver car strolling down that road and everybody at the time was aware that there was a burglar in the area or the new Dean was in the area? And was that car driving along and spotted Dean in that field or getting over that gate and slam on the brakes and say, here, come here, you get in that fucking car or whatever. Apologize for cursing, but is that, could that have happened? Of course it could, because like you said, anything is possible. But
And in any altercations that may have happened, I mean, it could have happened, you know, yourself, altercations, and it could have been an accident.
I don't believe
they freaked out.
100% news. I don't believe that whatever happened to Dean, I don't believe it was intentional, as in nobody woke up that morning and said, I'm going to have an encounter today that's going to end with someone losing their life. That's, you know, whatever bothered Dean may have got into that evening, he walked into it on his own account, I think. And just one of the things about the car, that, just before I kind of forget it there, when the guards recently even were telling us that maybe it's about time to let go of this car and, you know, move on to something else, they had told us that Dean, see, there's constant contradictions in it, and this was driving me mad. They had told us that Dean was spotted an hour or nearly an hour after that car was in the area too. So if you're to believe them, then...
And where was he spotted, allegedly,
Damien? In that field or in around that area.
Oh, still in Ballyfoyle, okay.
Still in Ballyfoyle, yeah. So,
okay.
You know, and one of the guards made a comment one time about how there was a silver car out there that evening, and it was drove by a now retired detective from Kilkenny. And again, I'm not saying they did anything, but when the name was mentioned about the particular detective, I know, and I'll stand by this, that he wasn't a very nice guy.
Okay.
If you got on the wrong side of him, he wasn't a very nice guy. And sure, he's a nice guy to his family and to his people who know him and all that kind of stuff, but he wasn't a man to be messed with. And, you know... So
there's all, I mean, it must be so frustrating, because basically there's all these differing accounts of what happened. And at the end of the day, what you want to do is get to which one of these is actually the real account.
Exactly, 100%. And like I said, the biggest fear that I have there now is that there's going to be a lot of activity, I'd say, throughout February and leading the first week of March about coming up to the 10-year anniversary. And again, I don't want to ruin our relationship that we have now with the guards, because you need a good relationship with them, like, but I just have a feeling that they're going to try and stir everything away from Ballyfoyle, as in we're putting out an appeal for the silver car. So if you're putting out an appeal for the silver car, that means that you think that he got into it and went. So if you think
think the guards are finished with Ballyfoyle,
I think they want to be finished with Ballyfoyle very quick, because the longer you stay out there and the more you don't draw attention away from Ballyfoyle, the more suspicion I think stays in Ballyfoyle, because if he wasn't found in this place, that they were so adamant that he was there, if he wasn't here, he wasn't anywhere else, and he wasn't found. So that leaves it wide open again. And say, right, he's not there, then where is he? So I'm just hoping they're not sitting back and saying, right, we have to get out of Ballyfoyle, because everything now is going to point to he's in someone's slurry tank, or he's in someone's shed, or he's in a shallow grave out there. We have to get him out of Ballyfoyle. So the easiest way to do it is put out an appeal for that car and even come out and make a statement saying, we may believe that this car might have something got to do with the disappearance. And to them, that'll be Dean gone out of Ballyfoyle, and they can close the book on it, but I can't.
No,
you know,
and you haven't.
And I won't. Mean, and I don't mean to say that in any kind of menace, threat or anything like that.
No, I know.
I can't. Like, we're 10 years.
This is your life's work now, really, isn't it, to get to the end of this?
Like, this is, how can you turn around and walk away from this now? Like, because if
now, after 10 years, you can't.
No, because I know for a fact that if I got off this podcast with you here now, turned off this computer and deleted that page on Facebook, or if I died in the morning, then that's done. That's the whole thing probably done, because, and there has been, like, don't get me wrong, the likes of yourself, and there's a couple of people out there that have really, really helped us. And without the help that you've given us, we would be lost. So again, like, from myself and all of Dean's family, the work that you do is amazing. And thank you very much for giving us this.
Oh, thank you.
You know, and even all the other videos you do, like, it's, you know, it's people like you that do help us mostly, you know, so we really do appreciate it.
And I'd love to get an outcome for you. I really would.
I think it just takes one person, you know, that's listening. And again, but the problem could be, it could be, this secret could be tied by family bonds. Fair enough, like, right?
Packed.
There's families being hurt on both sides of this. Like, Dean has a family there that, like, they're devastated. They're absolutely devastated because, like, what this is, that, like, the longer it goes on, like, you know, you're 10 years in now, just went by in a heartbeat, gone. Is it going to be another 10 years and we're doing another podcast and we're not addressing the bloody obvious that just come out and say Dean may have been the victim of foul play here? We know he didn't go out to Ballyfoyle and he didn't wander off into that woods and go on a nature walk or anything. Something happened to him. So let's find out what it is. Do you know, and again, to this silver car, I just find it amazing. I don't understand how they're going to put out an appeal for a car 10 years after the bloody thing was in the area.
Absolutely.
And for 10 years that we've been screaming at them about this car and we've been ignored, and now all of a sudden we'll put out an appeal for a car. So even to guards that might listen to this when it goes up on the page, and I know the guards follow the page and they just look at it and, you know, have a gander at it. I'm going to be personally, I this is what I said, even at the next meeting that I go to the guards, I'm going to say this, right? I'm not going to come up here every time for meetings and sit in front of you and be a hypocrite and go along with what you say and then run over here and do my own thing. I'm going to be upfront about it that I think that my way of thinking of what happened is a lot different from what you're trying to do. So you can do what you do.
To try and meet in the middle somewhere.
I'm going to do what I do. So whether that brings up stories of guard foul play or something happened to him, that's not really my fault, because I'm just here telling a story and people are forming their own opinions to it. That's not my fault either. I think that's the work of the guards that haven't come out and cleared this up and actually just came out and said, look, they can't just keep coming out and saying, we don't know where he is, or there's no sign of it. Like, without addressing the big elephant in the room and saying,
Or have substance behind their claims.
Is it not beyond the realm of possibility that Dean bought that car, crashed it, there's some fault in the car, went up, had an altercation with the man, and something happened from there? And that's what we're saying, to even appealing to anybody that knows this. Like, I know there's people who could be listening to this now that have family members that maybe they do think there's a sneaking suspicion about it. But also remember, just to find it in your heart too, that, like, Dean has another family there that are completely
that haven't been
involved with crime or drugs or anything. These are normal people going about their normal daily lives looking for closure. And every day that they get up, even for me, and I'm just Dean's friend, I get up every day and I think about it. So I can't imagine what it's like for his family. You know, just for the closure, there's a legacy being created there. Like I said to you before, like, this is going to continue on forever through generations of that family. All they have is a picture of their Uncle Dean, and it's like, Jesus, what happened to him? Even Dean's son, Jamie, like, he does be on Facebook, and he can see what's going on. It's not fair to him either, that even the way the public and some of the comments under some of the videos are calling Dean, like, some of the stuff that's been said is horrendous.
It's cruel.
It's not nice at all.
Like, and it's not helpful. It's not helpful.
Especially because through them smart comments and through the attacks on Dean as well, like, you're attacking people who are completely innocent. Like, they had not got to do
and with that are grieving.
Absolutely. It's terrible. I'd be in very regular contact with Dean's brother Raymond now, and I was working with his brother Keith there for a while. And they're absolutely lost over it. Like,
we're just hoping
that, you know, coming up on the 10 years there now, and there's one other man I'd love to just give a little quick mention to. And Councillor Joe Malone down here in Kilkenny. The help that he's given me, and he's given Dean Roach's family, and Geraldine in particular when she was with us, God love her, and everything, and what he's doing, he tries to come up all the time with new ways of helping us. Like, he's been so helpful for us that I couldn't put into words what it means, what he's done for us. So, like, he does great. I don't agree. He's a politician. I don't agree with his politics, but as a man and as a person.
Yeah, as a human being.
As a human being. Like they say, there's no show like a Joe show. That's what Geraldine used to say every time you walked into the house. But he's much appreciated and we love him. So thanks, Joe, for that. And for everybody else, that's just the support on the page is always amazing. Even the messages I get and the people, I did get a few messages.
Will you name out the page there for people listening as well, Damien?
Indeed. The page is on Facebook and it's called Dean Roach Missing Person Kilkenny. And every bit of information that we have is on it, the videos, the posts. And we have tried from the very beginning to be as honest as we can about it. We didn't paint Dean out to be anything that he wasn't. From the very beginning, we said what's what. And you know, we try to be honest. So just kind of keep it in mind as well. If you do, if there's some people out there that do feel the need to leave a nasty comment, you know,
it's not
just
helpful.
Think about the people who you're hurting. It's not Dean. You're not getting at him. You're not getting at the poor man, but you're getting at people who are actually still here watching it. And it's not nice either. You know?
No, it's not nice. No, it's not nice.
No.
And I'd like to appeal as well, basically, before we end. I'd like to make a direct appeal to anyone listening who may have any information about what happened to Dean Roach. And if you know something, no matter how small or insignificant it may seem, I'd urge you to come forward. Even the smallest detail could help. Would be the missing piece, basically, that Gardaí need to finally bring this matter to a close for Dean's family and his friends. So if you do have any information, please, would you contact the Gardaí in Kilkenny or even your local Garda station, and you can reach out anonymously if you need to. Anything you can share will be treated with the strictest of confidence. And Dean's family and friends, they've spent years searching for answers. So let's help them bring him home, get some justice and closure for them.
And absolutely news, that's 100%. And also, as well, if there is people out there that are afraid to go to the Gardaí with information and they're afraid of being brought into it, but I'll say this to you. All I can offer people is my word that if they ever came to me with any information, that under no circumstances whatsoever would I ever reveal their identity to the Gardaí. If they don't want to text the page, my Facebook, just Damien Hipple, my normal Facebook, you can message me on that. I do go off it from time to time, but the messenger is still there. You can drop an anonymous page, make up anything you want, contact us, even if it's the smallest
just get the information to Damien or
exactly.
the guards,
because we're coming up to 10 years now in March and we don't want to be here for another 10 years because there's a lot of people suffering, and I think it's just trying to close the book on this.
Now is the time, guys. The 10th anniversary. Just help them. Please help them if you can.
100%.
So, Damien, is there anything else you want to add before we finish up?
Not just the same story that thanks for everybody that's helped us. Thanks for the support on the page, all the shares and likes, all the comments, everything. It does mean a lot, because without that page and without the support, we probably would have gave up a long time ago. And the people that do support us on the page, the appreciation we have for you could never be. I could sit here all day talking about it, but it just means so much to everybody that's involved. Thank you. And again, just anybody out there, doesn't matter how small or how ridiculous it might seem, just pass on the message or pass on the little bit of information, because it could lead to the next thing that's the key. So
absolutely.
That's really it.
And fair play to you, Damien. As I said to you before, we all need a Damien in our lives, because you're a fantastic friend.
And that's another thing, like, people just put these plaudits on me all the time. I get it all the time, but and I appreciate it, I do. But the fact is, like, I'm only doing what anybody would do, really. Like, I had such a close bond with Geraldine, and she helped me so much throughout my life, and things that she done for me steered me in different directions and kept me back from going different directions. So I'm just paying back a favor, like, you know. Just again, thanks everybody for the support, and hopefully coming up in the 10 years we'll get something solid, and
please God
we'll be able to start, maybe close the book and start healing. That's all we want.
Please God, Damien. So thanks very much anyway for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you very much for having us. Really appreciate it.
All right, Damien. Mind yourself, okay?
Thank you, Nules. Bye-bye.
Okay.
So, guys, that's it for today's episode of the Ireland Crimes and Mysteries podcast. Again, thanks for your listenership. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and hit that auto-download so you never miss an episode. Until the next time, keep your eyes open and your mind curious. This podcast has been compiled from information gathered in the public sphere, like news articles, documentaries, and open source material that can be found on the web. Everything in this podcast is alleged unless a conviction has taken place.